I'm Annie Leonard with The Story of Stuff. Welcome to The Good Stuff, our podcast focused on solutions to the take-make-waste system. First, I just want to say thanks to the thousands of you who've listened to the first two episodes and shared them with your friends. We're really glad you like what we're doing. Please keep sharing. Today, we're going to talk with a new friend of mine. We were brought together by, of all things, a TV show. When we met, we both had our eyes opened. Me, by how hard she works to balance caring for her family and the demands of two family businesses, plus a consulting practice. She, by how many of the housekeeping choices she thought were cost-effective and time-saving were actually wasteful and expensive, and how they could affect others in her community. She's learned some new strategies and developed some simple new habits for managing her household that will prevent waste, save her money, and help the planet. You can too. So let's go. Meet Carla Trotman, who lives outside Philadelphia. She works full-time in her family's electronics business. She also runs Belly Button Boutique, an online retailer of products for new moms and moms-to-be, and consults with other companies on marketing through social media. She's got two boys, age 5 and 3. Her husband commutes to his job as an attorney at an insurance company. To try to stay on top of things, she had ordered her entire family life around products that seemed to promise cheap convenience. Individual servings of juice boxes, yogurt in a tube, and instant oatmeal for the kids. Single servings of bottled water, even though her tap water is safe and healthy. Multiple rolls of paper towels for cleaning up spills without having to do laundry later. She had a special coffee maker that only took pre-measured plastic pods of coffee, which, of course, were not recyclable. Carla admits she's something of a clean freak, but she also wants to do the right thing for her family. She was aware of the need for a greener way of living. For instance, she saved all her plastic bags because she didn't feel quite right about throwing them away. If you remember the plastic bag monster from our first show, you should see all the bags she kept in her garage. And, like all of us, she also wanted to save money. That made her a perfect subject for ABC's new daytime talk show, The Revolution. They asked me to come on the show to talk about stuff and other tips for reducing waste in your daily life. And they wanted to hook me up with someone like Carla, who was open to change but didn't know where to start. Carla and I hit it off right away. We had a blast doing the show. A few weeks after it aired, I checked back with her to see what changes she's made and what's still to come. As soon as I met you, I felt a very immediate connection with you. We had a lot in common, and I think the most important thing in our lives that we had in common is that we are both moms, and we're working moms. And I understand that one of the reasons that you started your business, Belly Button Boutique, is to help other moms manage the stress in our lives. Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was working full-time, and I was pregnant, and I don't know how women can work and be pregnant. Sometimes it's just so uncomfortable. Well, why isn't there a store that's a one-stop shop for women who are pregnant and uncomfortable? And so I created it.
So tell me about a typical day.
I don't have a lot of time. In the morning, it's hectic, two young children running around, my husband. I'm getting dressed. He's feeding them or dressing them, and he's in the shower, and I'm doing something else with them. So it's just constantly running. Even when I pick them up and we get home, my children are in aftercare. We pick them up, we have to do dinner and homework and bath time and reading to them. So time to yourself is just not really there.
It sounds like you're describing my house.
Right.
So tell me about some of the sort of convenient strategies that you came up with to make your day-to-day routine a little easier.
Well, I usually feed my kids the same breakfast every day. For some reason, that's what they ask for, and I don't complain. So we do the single-serving oatmeal packets, mainly because they're simple. I just have them in a jar, and I just pull out the green one for the youngest and the purple one for the eldest and add some soy milk and heat it up and call it a day. As far as lunches, we do drink boxes and snacks that we just grab, throw some chicken nuggets in a container, and they will heat them up at school.
Given your already hectic day and the demands you were under, what did you think when you heard I was coming to your house?
It's a shame, Annie, but I'm thinking this crunchy granola lady is going to come to my house and, like, hate everything the way that we do it, and we're not going to be able to implement any of these things because our lives are just too complicated and too complex.
So is that what it was like? Be honest.
Not at all. You were the sweetest person. I mean, you came in, and it was almost like I had already met you before. And you were just like, don't worry about it. We're going to get you some really great ideas and tips that are going to get you started, and they're just going to save you money. Now, when you said saving money, I was like, okay, now my husband's going to love Annie.
Well, I think that's one of the most important lessons about this stuff is that a lot of the ways that we can reduce waste, reduce the money that we spend on a day-to-day basis. So after going through your house and looking at your routines, which, you know, as I can totally relate to as a busy working mom too, we came up with three tips that we wanted to focus on as a great first step to start reducing the waste coming out of your own household. And those were ditch the disposables, because there was a lot of disposable, single-use things that not only create a huge amount of waste, but are wasting hundreds and hundreds of dollars every year. The average family spends hundreds of dollars on things that you use once and then throw away. So ditch the disposables. Pay attention to packaging. You know, there's some things that have a lot more packaging than other things, and just starting to develop that sort of muscle of looking at the packaging in the store and choosing the things with less packaging is another way to save money and reduce waste. And then the third thing was to enroll others. And the reason that we came up with that is that it is a lot easier to make change if you're not doing it alone. If you have friends and neighbors, the school, your kid's school, members in your church, if you enroll others, you have company and a support group, and also it's a way to magnify your voice. Can you just sort of tell me, how's it going on those three? Have you been able to implement any of those?
You know, it's interesting. Right now, we're in the Lenten season with my church. We are to give up. We're doing this fast where you give up everything processed and just go to the natural way of eating. That has helped in my whole goal of reducing packaging, but in and of itself, because I'm eating fresh fruit and fresh vegetables and cooking a lot of things from scratch. We're not doing a lot of packaged heat ups and like things that come in boxes and containers and papers. A lot of the things are just being prepared as just naturally. So we're actually losing weight on top of saving money during this fast because we're eating better.
That is such an example of, you know, the ripple effect of benefits of doing this kind of thing, because you are reducing the waste that's produced by far. It's definitely more healthy. And the more fresh your food is, usually the shorter distance it has traveled. So that means you're also reducing the carbon footprint or the amount of energy it took to get this food to you. And if we're losing weight at the same time, I mean, that really is a win-win-win situation.
Yes.
So one of the challenges that you brought up, which is a very common one, is what to do about all the disposables that you need for kids' birthday parties or big barbecues. Because you don't want to use your good china for your kids' birthday parties. You don't want to wash 500 dishes and then store them forever in your garage. I mean, your garage would get so full with all this stuff. So one of the ideas we came up with was a sharing shed or a community sharing shed. I have seen places all over the country where neighbors get together, get a little shed, and they have in there lots of wine glasses or lots of birthday banners or whatever it is that you need for group events that you have maybe once or twice a year and you just don't need to own and store the whole time. What did you think of that idea?
Oh, I love that idea, especially because our community is still growing. It's still under construction. So I believe that I could get the builders into it as another selling point for the development to show that it's very community-oriented.
That is a great idea. I've read a study recently that the average amount of time a power drill is used is about 20 minutes a year. Yet we all have all this stuff in our garage. So if we can share, not only are we buying less stuff, not only are we wasting less stuff, but a huge side benefit is you have to talk to each other to share. And so it's a great community building approach. Actually, sharing is having such a resurgence now in this country that there's a new fancy name for it. It's now called collaborative consumption. I often say formerly known as sharing.
Oh.
When I toured your house, you did show me your incredibly impressive plastic bag collection that you had a giant bag full of probably hundreds of plastic bags that you had collected for months because for some reason you felt like it wasn't quite right to throw them away. Can you tell me about those bags and why were you saving them?
I wasn't saving them on purpose. I'm not a collector. When I would go grocery shopping, they had a giant bin outside in the vestibule that said, "Bring your bags here to be recycled." And I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. Now I don't have to throw them in the trash. I can just take them in." But every time I would go shopping, I wouldn't bring them with me. And then it's almost like, well, if I'm bringing them with me, why wouldn't I just bring them and use them? Why am I bringing them back to just get new bags?
That's an excellent point. That's such a no-brainer. So you had an extra incentive to reduce your waste because you live near a garbage incinerator. I was really surprised when I started looking at the map before I came to your house to see that just 15 miles upwind is a gigantic trash incinerator, which takes all the garbage from your area and then burns it. And so the smoke that's coming out of that thing is going to go right over your community. How did you feel when I told you about that news?
Because I didn't even think about where the trash went, I was surprised. I didn't know where the trash went at all, and I didn't care. My 5-year-old has asthma, and he has trouble breathing. And I thought at first, you know, it's seasonal, or if he's sick, that it's based on, you know, his cough is just based on the seasonal, the pollen or whatever. But now it's winter, and when he goes outside, he's getting sick. And it just almost all made sense. It's what he's breathing in. It's his environment. And the one thing that I can do to help him and his asthma is change the way that I throw things away and what goes into that incinerator.
There's obviously lots of reasons that a kid can have asthma, but there is also very strong data that links incinerator emissions with a whole variety of health impacts. So one of the things that we have in common as moms is our absolute top priority is our kids. And in order to protect our kids, one of the things we need to do is just eliminate garbage incineration. In this country and globally, it is just not a sensible way to get rid of our trash. I mean, if you imagine a whole bag of plastic bags and containers and bottles and all of this burning, it's just not something that we would want to be near.
I honestly never thought about it or realized it. We don't see everything through to the point of after it's consumed, what happens to the waste, what happens to those boxes, and it's actually affecting us. But we don't want to see that part. And I didn't see it until you introduced it to me.
And now do you see it everywhere?
I see it everywhere, and it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Even when I go to a kid's birthday party at one of those like kiddie restaurants and they have all the paper plates out and the plastic tablecloths and the balloons and all that junk out on the table, now it kind of freaks me out.
So when I talked to you at the end of our visit about if you were going to adopt some of the new habits that I had suggested, your biggest hesitation was around time. Your biggest hesitation, I sensed, was losing some of the time-saving conveniences that you had. And I suggested to you that while it might take more time to wash the cloth towels rather than just open a new bag of disposables or a new package of disposables, that actually you'll be saving time in other ways. You don't have to be going to the big box store to get all these containers and disposable things. You don't have to restock on single-use water bottles. You don't have to be hauling as much stuff out to the curb in the garbage. That even though it adds work in some ways, it simplifies your life in other ways. So I wanted to know, what's your experience been with that? Have you tried some of these reusables, and has it reduced time or has it added to the time pressure?
It's reduced it because my kids love the containers that you gave them with the straw, the drinking containers. And instead of taking juice, they like to fill it with water because we have the the water dispenser on the refrigerator. So they've almost taken ownership of that. Like, oh, I have to get the water for my lunch. So now I'm not even giving them juice for lunch. So that's been amazing.
So when I visited your house, one of the things that you were doing was buying the single-serving bottled water because you were concerned about the water quality. And so I got the water quality reports from your municipality, and you are really lucky that you live in a municipality where the water quality reports are flawless, not a single environmental violation. And I encourage the listeners of this podcast to get online. We have the link on our website. Anybody can get the information about the water quality in their district for free, and you can find out if your water has environmental violations or if it's perfectly fine to drink. And if it's perfectly fine to drink, drink that instead of buying single-use, single-serving bottles of water.
Yes, I have my container on my desk right now that I filled from home this morning.
Another big change for Carla is that now she has a greater awareness of how her waste can affect her family's health and the health of other people. She was horrified to learn about the incinerator just 15 miles upwind from her neighborhood. Monica Wilson of Gaia, a network of groups promoting recycling in place of incineration, says that facility is run by Covanta, an incinerator company that is at the center of community battles all over the United States.
This incinerator has racked up at least 75 violations in the years that it opened, and the state has fined it $171,000. An incinerator is a really bad and outdated idea, which is that you take your garbage and light it on fire and try to get a little bit of energy out of it. But in the process of doing that, incinerators release a lot of toxic pollution, and they're very expensive. They're just a really bad choice to make.
Isn't it better to burn it and capture a little bit of energy than to just waste it all by dumping it in a hole in the ground?
Well, the incinerator industry would like us to believe that this is an energy solution, but it's not. It's the opposite of that, in fact, because we could save far more energy if we took those materials and recycled them. And making new products with recycled materials saves 3 to 5 times as much energy as you can get out of an incinerator. They create almost no energy. Recycling is part of the solution, but really we have to take a step back and look at all of the waste that we're dealing with, all this stuff that goes through our households, goes through our businesses every day. And instead of just looking at recycling, we need to look at zero waste. We need to think about how do we reduce, how do we reuse, how do we change processes so that materials and the stuff that we use, the products that we use can last longer and can be recycled or composted at the end of life.
It was great to talk to Carla again. If you want to see the segment that we did for the TV show, it's on our homepage at storyofstuff.org. Carla's story is a powerful example of how increased awareness of waste and unsustainable practices in our personal lives can awaken us to the fact that some solutions aren't in our own hands. We need our neighbors, our community, and our society as a whole to work together for change. We also need companies that design and make the stuff that we use to get on board. It should be their job to figure out how to make the things we need to be safe, long-lasting, and easy to recycle. Now Carla's gotten started on making changes to her own life. She's started talking to her neighbors about sharing resources. And now she knows that some problems, like the unhealthy air pollution from toxic waste incinerators, go deeper than any one person can change alone. Monica Wilson is going to put Carla in touch with other people who are working to change the system that sends tons of waste that could be recycled, composted, or turned into useful products to be burned. Getting involved in that campaign, or any other, is a way that Carla can move from being just a consumer to a citizen, from making change in her kitchen to making change in her community. How about you? What can you do to exercise your citizen muscles to reduce waste and solve other problems? Share your ideas on our blog. We'd love to hear from you. That's it for this episode. Our show comes to you from the studios of Youth Radio in Oakland, California. Our engineer is James Rollins. Post-production by Brandon McFarland. The Good Stuff is produced by Bill Walker. We'll have another show up next month. Until then, so long and keep sharing the good stuff.